Boy, Mo Egger, Yannick, and we got Trish back in the building. What up, though? Yeah, we out here. You already know how we always start the show. We had a wonderful weekend. You know, we had the Easy Way TV launch,
which
was really good. It went really well. You know, there was a lot of people in the building. It was a wide range of people, too. You had young folk. You had people that was just corporate. You had label owners. You had actors. A lot of famous people, man. We saw one of the ladies from
Rachel. We saw Rachel Fair.
Yeah, you go there.
Shout out. You know what I mean? I wanted to take a picture, but I didn't get to take a picture with you. If I ever get to see you again, I need to take a picture, man. Straight up. Family matters all day.
All right, man. Family matters, man. Waldo for Waldo. But yeah, yo, sports and music with Mo Egger. Back again, same time, 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. You know, we have a special guest in the building tonight. Today is going to be awesome, man. We're going to talk about a few things. You know, we're going to knuckle up this episode. But, you know, my name is Maurice Egger, a.k.a. Mo Egger, hailing from Detroit, Michigan, alumni of Michigan State, you know, 4 years at Michigan State, All-American, played 4 or 5 years in the NBA, you know, first-round draft pick, been doing music my whole life, music and entertainment, and that's a little bit about myself. I'm out here in Los Angeles, California, doing my thing, you know, just building every single day, you know, and this is sports and music, and it goes hand-in-hand. I feel like I am sports and music. I make music. I play sports. So this is what the show is all about. We're going to have professional athletes, boxers, kickboxers, you name it, wrestlers, football players, basketball players. We all going to be here, man, just talking about life. And on top of that, we're going to have music guys, inspirational. It's down to earth. We just kicking it, man. We doing it on Easy Way TV. This is Mo Egger, so I need to hand the mic over to my boy, Yannick.
Yo.
He's going to introduce himself.
What up? You know who I am. It's Yannick Beats. You know, I'm from anywhere. You're from USA, by the way, of New Mexico. You know, did music in New Mexico. Reached all the way up to as far as I could. Left, went to Phoenix. Did music with Amari Stoudemire and his group. Left there, came here to L.A. And, you know, we just doing stuff, you know. Coming out with shoes, got scripts. We got, you know, the albums. We got this, we got that. We living.
Living.
And then on to my left.
What's good? This is Trish from Chicago.
Chi-town.
With Michigan State.
Midwest.
Detroit.
Midwest are in the building.
Sure is.
I'm hyped about that.
We sure are. Former athlete. I've done radio the past decade.
Word up.
Hosting out in L.A.
Doing your thing. That's it, man. Love my team, yo. Hold on. Put my headphones on. Let's see what this do. Turn it up a little bit, but yeah, the sports music with Mo Egger, man. We doing our thing every single week, man, and I love my team. We all from the Midwest. Most of us, we all play sports. We all know a little bit about something on the field, whether it's hooping, whether it's in a ring. We just getting it in, man. So we have a quick commercial break, and we're going to come back, sports and music, with Mo Egger and Yannick Beats. Let's get it.
We'll be right back. get a good feeling. Yeah. Get a feeling that I never, 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 never had before. No, no, no. I get a good feeling. Yeah. Oh, sometimes I get a good feeling.
Yeah, we want to, we back again, sports and music. We over here talking about water bottles and how expensive they are nowadays. You know, you can be in the club and get the Voss joint, it'd be like $58.
You'd be like, for real? For good water? I should have really drank.
Wawa.
Minus
H2O. But yeah, anyway, man, yo, it's kind of crazy out here. You know, I want to talk about the easy way to launch, but first I want to kind of talk about what's going on in our country, you know. Yo, shout out to Obese for... for holding it down. You know, at the end of the day, you stood up for what you believe in, man. You know what? Salute, brother. Now we have Obamacare, but we also have a shutdown. What you guys think?
Man, they wasn't going to allow that. They're not going to allow him to do anything, man. He hasn't been able to do anything he wanted to do because every time he do try to do it, they like, nah. Nope, you're not going to do that. Nope, you're not going to do that. We know you passed it. Nope, we're not going to do that. It's like, yo, it's like we need to start really voting for people we really want to vote for and not vote for the class or the party that we're part of. Like, we need to start voting for people that we really believe in. If you believe in the community organizer, you know what I'm saying, be like, yo, you need to run for office. Like, I believe in you. When you run for office, vote for them. You know what I'm saying? Now we're voting for people that we believe are going to, you know, vote for the same thing that we believe in, and it's not happening. They're not doing. They don't care about us. They do not care.
Michael Jackson said it first back in the 90s. They don't really care about us.
And Tupac said that too.
Pac said it.
You know, Pac said it.
Damn, if Pac said it, you know it gotta be true. If Tupac said it, don't care about us.
If Tupac said it, it was true.
True, indeed.
You know what, man?
But he did say he don't see a black president, though.
Kanye said it.
Kanye said it too.
Kanye.
Right.
It's kind of crazy.
We do have a black president.
Have you seen the Kanye interviews? Hate to.
The BBC joint?
Oh, yeah. The BBC joint is classic. Oh, if you have not seen that, oh, my God.
We talk about Kanye West every week on this show, man.
Yo,
I'm tired of talking about Ye.
I know.
He do be wildin', though. I am the biggest rock star.
Versace.
I was like, my guy.
Knock it off, yo.
Yo, he was really on something, though. He was really, you know what, because me and you talked about it.
Yeah.
Like, low-key, some of the stuff he was saying was right.
Yeah, it was right.
A lot of it was.
But he was so he was contradicting everything he was talking about. Like,
yeah.
Like, dude.
Woman, he's like, I'm not frustrated. Then 20 minutes later, you're not frustrated out here? You're not frustrated out here? I'm real? I have ideas. I have silhouettes. I have stuff for stages, sound stages. I built the washer throne.
Right.
Downstairs, it was 20. Oh, yeah.
You know what? Cool. One of the most disappointing things is when he was like, you know, for 10 years, I've been focusing on, you know, going to Prada and Fendi with new designs and stuff. You know, I give 20% to the music and 80% to this. I'm like, that's why. That's why your albums have not been as good as they used to be.
Definitely falling off.
Yeah, you're falling off. Man.
I'm the first one to bring the leather sweatpants, to Fendi. They told me no.
I'm like, yeah, dog, yeah, they did.
They don't want to give you no money.
Yeah. Why would they give you money? Like, you going to act up. Then he goes, yo, yeah, Nike don't want to re-up on the deal with me and all this. And I'm like, yeah, dude, there's got to be more to this story, man, because we all know that your Yeezys sold out.
They did.
But there got to be more to this story, man. You just like,
obviously, they just didn't want to work with him. You know
that's
what?
That's exactly what he is.
It's like a time bomb. They don't want to be there waiting for him to explode. Because all of a sudden, he hate all the American paparazzi, right? He hate all the American paparazzi, in which they've been doing some foul things. But then when he go to France, he talking to them all nice, like, look, you guys are not like the American paparazzi. You guys are all, you guys have standards and things like that. I'm like, they complain.
In France?
Yeah.
They killed Princess Diana. What standards do they have?
Dang, they killed Princess.
Right, right. He gonna be over there acting like it was all good. I'm like, yo.
They don't care.
They don't care either. Like, dude, don't try to,
They're all trying to make a living.
Right.
By selling your photo.
How did paparazzi kill Princess Diana? They were chasing him.
The driver of her vehicle was in pursuit.
Oh,
they were on
They were just coming after him. He was trying to get away.
Wow. I need to brush up on my history.
Yeah.
All right, man, yo. So we about to talk about the Easy Way launch that went down this Sunday. It was popping, man. We had plenty of guests, man. It was a nice range of people, man. We did a lot of networking. We had some good people come through from Sugar and Spiked. Sugar and Spiked is an actual company that makes, cupcakes and sweets.
Joints was kind of
nice. Truffle cakes and all that good stuff, but it's alcohol infused.
Yeah, alcohol infused. The lemon cheesecake joint was bomb.
Yeah, man.
Easy Way Angels.
Oh, yeah, they was kind of cool, too. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
That's the Angels.
Yep. Let me see.
And that's Eric. Easy Way with the Easy Way top hat on.
Okay. Yeah, that was nice. It was cool, man.
It was solid.
Cool.
I had a good time, man. We got a chance to, bless the red carpet with our presence.
Yeah.
Let people know who we are.
Shout out to LA Live.
Shout out to Pitbull. Shout out to Glacier Water. Shout out to
RNC.
Terrence.
Terrence, shout out to Terrence, man. Terrence was a nice guy, man. I really like Terrence, man.
Yeah, he had a really, really cool, positive vibe.
Right.
Shout out to the Hoblong.
Who's
the one that was rapping?
She was a rapper?
She was spitting. That's the one I was freestyling at the beginning.
Right. She got up on the mic and freestyled. She was nice.
She rapped for like 2 minutes, dog.
Yeah, no, she was nonstop. She was implementing everybody in there, too. She was saying what you got on you. Yo, he got a greener shirt. That is the green shirt. I was like, damn, girl.
Didn't go.
All
right. Yeah, that's my boy Blue Ranger, Najee.
Blue Ranger.
That's the lady. You gotta look over here.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Shout out to the Blue Ranger though. Me and him is actually going to be in a movie together. That's going to be shot next. On the top of next year, it's going to be a movie called Behind Locked Doors, and he's one of the stars in it. And I have a role in it also. So.
Okay.
Shout out to Najee.
You trying to get your IMDb up?
You.
Yeah, trying to get your IMDb up.
You did? Oh, and I'm actually the music supervisor, and I'm scoring a film. So.
Just
a little bit.
We
talk about the Easy Way launch.
No, we're talking about Mo real quick. Mo's the dude in those movies, like the small town you roll up in, and the sheriff is the baseball coach. He's also the banker. He's everything.
I'll be
running town on the low.
I'll be fixing everything, man. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, man, the Easy Way launch was cool. Shout out to Larry, man. Larry Weatherspoon was a great guy. He got a chance to come
Larry
out from,
cool, man.
From Arizona and just really see how things, see what we're doing out here. We're trying to get it going, man. And
he really liked the show, too, so that was good. You have a lot of people come up to us and be like, yo, we really enjoy your show. So shout out to them, too.
Yeah, people just like the natural aspect of our show, man. It's not too structured, man. We just keeping it real. We're talking about real life issues, and we're just trying to keep it as safe as possible.
Right.
But let's check out some of the footage from the beginning of Easy Way's launch. The first show he had.
It's about to get hotter. Let me introduce my co-hosts. I have two awesome co-hosts that are going to be doing this show with me. We're going to go ladies first because that's the gentleman way of doing things. I'm going to introduce you guys to Natasha. She's over there, one of my angels. Hi, Natasha. How you doing?
Yo, what's up, Easy? You looking good from over there.
Oh, thank you. That's such a sexy voice.
Oh, I can make it even sexier.
Can you do it in a different language?
Yes, I can.
Sound.
Was that real?
Bonjour, je m'appelle Natasha.
Uh-oh, watch out.
I actually don't speak
what'd I get myself
other languages.
Into?
That's pretty good.
Yeah,
you did good, though.
If it wasn't obvious by my outer space words earlier, yeah.
Exactly. And then we got the top 100 Maxim hometown hottie in the house, 2014.
Hey, everybody.
Jennifer Irene, how you feeling?
I'm feeling amazing. This is a blast. All you guys are pretty cool. We can't help it.
You like doing it the easy way, huh? RMC,
I love
baby.
It the easy way.
Then my man, TK.
Oh.
One more time, TK.
Oh.
So, TKO, tell them why they call you TKO, sir.
I'm the bringer and the spreader of chaos.
Yes, you are.
I keep the party moving.
Now, guys, we used to have a radio show. Nobody knows this. This show is the first. You guys are going to get so many exclusives on this show. It's ridiculous. About what? Would you say 7 years ago?
Yep.
About 7 years ago, we did. Anybody heard of X Radio? X Radio, anybody?
Yes.
If you haven't heard about it, just say yes because it's good for the show.
Yes.
X-Radio. Yes. X-Radio.biz, the R&B section. Me and TKO had the top 100 show for a year straight.
Mm-hmm. Number one.
Wow.
By a large margin. Like you see the pie chart, everyone else stopped here. We were like,
That's because we're tall. You know, we're lucky, but...
Oh, yeah. Did you...
TKO is one of my artists as well, and we got some wonderful guests in the house. To my left, the beautiful Melina Gay from Young and the Restless, actress extraordinaire. Melina!
Congratulations on your big launch of everything. Your show, your app, your everything.
Magazine. By the way, where's my magazine? Is there a magazine anywhere? Anybody has a gift bag and a magazine in their gift bag?
Yes, I have one.
Then just toss them right over here. I want to show you guys the magazine, Easy Way Magazine. Nope. But you know what? I want to first off say the reason that I'm sitting here and the reason all of this is happening is because of this woman right here. This friend, look at that. I love that. Bam. There it is. There's Bai Ling. Anybody know who Bai Ling is? There's my man Shane Sparks of Planet Dance on Easy Way TV. This is the new little magazine we did. It's a little trial. Oh, look, there you are, Jennifer. Woo! Watch out.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited.
Everyone just got really uncomfortable. She's so sexy.
Also, guys, I don't know if he's in the house, but if he is, I definitely want to bring him up. But you guys, this guy's name is Brenton Tyler Hoffman, and I just found out that he actually has a health illness, and the doctor said that he's actually going to possibly die.
Ooh.
This is serious stuff. He's going to possibly die if he doesn't get the money for what he needs medically. And that's why I put him in this magazine. That's why I put him here. We're going to hopefully, I mean, where's Make-A-Wish Foundation? You know what I mean?
That's a little portion of the show that went down Sunday late evening. You know, we started the show around 10, you know, ended at 11. And afterwards, we went and got us some Roscoe's. Yeah, man.
Yes, sir.
And it was good, man. So, you know, stay tuned for some beautiful things that we have going on, you know, as a brand, as Easy Way brand, as me and Yannick's brand continue to build through music, shoes, scripts, our TV show that's going to come out.
Yeah,
we have a TV show coming out pretty soon, and it's going to be called Motown. He's actually one of the script writers. He's going to be co-starring with myself.
Right.
But that's enough about me right now. Let's get ready to introduce our special guest. This is my boy Rashad Holloway from Cincinnati, Ohio. Good friend of mine, real down on earth, man. I met him roughly 2 years ago. Man, time flies. Roughly 2 years ago at a convention where we were speaking about anti-bullying. You know, we were both on a panel. It was me, him, Mario Van Peebles, big fella from Blindside. I always forget his name. Quincy something. What was it, Quincy?
I don't remember. I'm
the person that. And, you know, we've been, you know, cool ever since, man. So, boy, Rashad Holloway in the building. Let's get it. Boxer. Bow, bow. Boom, boom. Hold that. Knuckles. All right. Introduce yourself, brother.
What's going on, world? I don't know. I'm the worst at this, but Rashad Holloway, Cincinnati, Ohio, represented. Out in L.A., I guess living a life, enjoying a life, just come from humble beginnings and still here getting it. That's it.
That's what it is. Yo, you got the clip, man? Let's see one of your – it's a little short one, but, you know. Let's see.
Oh, you got the Q&T commercial. Shout out to Q&T.
Boxing is a way of life, sacrifice. You got to stay focused. I come in that ring with one intention, and that's to inflict pain and win. Coming into the gym, taking test tech, my stamina's increased, my energy level, my strength. I mean, I feel like an improved fighter. My name is Rashad Holloway. I'm a professional boxer, and I use test tech.
Bring me back in. My man's, hold that hook, right, left, all that. My man's in shape. We got a gym. Hey, let's talk about the gym, man. I know you recently opened up a gym a couple years ago or so. How's that going for you?
Oh, man, it's been a blessing, man. I actually opened up two. I just kind of, I don't know. Like, how can I say this? Like, you know of all people. Like, I tell athletes this every day. Like, I didn't expect to be a professional boxer. I mean, as a kid, I always wanted it, but my life went another route, and I lucked up, and I guess it was written for me, and God brought me back into boxing, and it was that. But anyway, so many athletes, man, like, they don't understand that they're bigger than their sport.
Yeah.
Like, their sport makes them. And I respect you so much for what you did. Like, how many guys can come out being in the NBA and just say, look, I don't want this anymore.
Right.
You can walk away from millions of dollars and say, look, this isn't for me. This isn't who I am as a person. I'm not going to be defined by what I do.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got injured a couple years ago, tore my shoulder. tore my shoulder, and they told me I'd never box again.
Wow.
So it was my last fight, and I had two surgeries, and by the grace of God, I'm able to come back. But anyway, the first 6 months, I was on my couch, and I'm just like, it's got to be more to life. Like, I was depressed, didn't know what I was going to do with myself, and my coach actually gave me a call. Freddie Roach, he's been an angel on my shoulder, him and my coach Eric Brown. Like, Freddie called me and had me come down to the gym, and I didn't know what I was coming down for. And he said, just come, just come. So I came down, and I met actually some producers, and they were getting ready to shoot a movie called Hands of Stone.
Right.
And Usher was starring in, was one of the stars in one of the roles, playing Sugar Ray Leonard, who was my idol.
Wow.
So apparently Freddie showed him footage of me. They wanted Freddie to train Usher, and they look. He looked at me. He said, "No." He said, "This is." He said, "This is how you want him to look, right?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, this guy would be perfect to train him. Like this, kid emulated, like tried to emulate Sugar Ray. Sugar Ray was my idol, so he said, this is the man for it." So that kind of, that was my introduction into training. Didn't think I was ever going to train.
Wow.
I never really wanted to train people, and got that. Then I started getting other calls to train other celebrities and stuff like that. But I wasn't too keen on the celebrity thing. Like, I shy away from that as much as I can, because the way I see it, we all regular people.
Absolutely.
I'm not good at dealing with egos and assholes. Like, I'm
right on.
The worst at it, and I don't know how to bite my tongue. So that's why I kind of stay in my own lane. Like, some people, you don't know if you're gonna rub them, if they're gonna rub you the wrong way or not. And like I said, I don't bite my tongue. I'll let you have it either way. If
absolutely
you respect me
correct
as a man, I respect you. So anyway, got into that. Got certified. I had some of the best strength coaches and strength trainers from all over, from getting ready for the Olympics, going everywhere, training with different trainers and different places. And I put what I knew and got certified. And from there, kind of started my own programs and opened up a couple gyms. And that was that. Now I partnered up with some good guys. Man, now I'm getting ready to focus and get back in the ring, and we're trying to blow it up together.
Man.
Good for you.
Yeah, two or three things. One is I commend you for feeling like you're more than just a sport. You know, you want to do it, you just let your path guide you, you know, because there's a lot of individuals who will say it. They'd be like, well, if it wasn't for this, I don't know if would I be without basketball, who I am. Mm-hmm. They say that. They're like, some people would actually be like, yo, I don't know who I am if outside of a sport. So you're like, okay, let me go ahead and start training. Then whatever training, that opens up doors for other things. So it's good that you realize that.
But the funny part, I didn't. That's the weird part. Like,
yeah.
I was one of those guys. I didn't realize that I was bigger than my sport. And after being on my couch 6 months and then a door being open, I saw life from a different aspect.
Absolutely.
I saw that as an athlete, I had to be smart and realize that my sport makes X amount of dollars off me.
Mm-hmm.
I would never ever make, no matter how much money I make, I would never ever make what my sport made off me. I would never ever, I won't even come close. Like a guy that signs an $80 million contract, you better believe if they're giving you $80 million, you better believe that franchise is probably making $500 million, $400 million
exactly
off you, from jersey sales, ticket sales, everything.
Yeah.
Your sport uses you. You got to find a way to take the name that you made for yourself in that sport, brand yourself in some kind of way, and make sure you can make money and be taken care of for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
Right. If you're smart. A lot of athletes don't realize.
Hey, look, man, I'm trying to be the richest person ever from my brand. You
but
know
then
what I'm saying?
Athletes are idiots. Like, and it's the truth. And I hate to say it, but but it's the truth, especially black ones, because we come from what? A lot of us come from the inner city.
Right.
Like, I'm going to tell you, J. Cole had a song called Chaining Day. Like, guys really need to listen to that song, and it speaks about us as people and our ignorance. And I could relate to a lot of it, especially early on in my career. And even now, I still battle with certain things. And it's like, we really don't understand, like, who we are as people and what success is. Like, a guy was telling somebody the other day, you go out and sign a $40 million contract, right? Your average athlete is like, oh, I'm rich. Yeah, you are rich. But the way we live, the way a lot of young blacks live, that's not rich.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because when you sign that $40 million contract, 47% of that is gone anyway.
Yeah,
that's gone
off top.
So that $40 million just turned into $22 million, $21.5 million.
Yeah.
Okay? By the time, and now mind you, say you sign a $40 million contract in a 4-year span, or say 5-year span, or let's just say 4 years. So basically, you're saying that you're getting $10 million a year, right? Cut it in half. That's 21.5, say 22, right?
All
right. You're basically getting, now you just knocked that down. You're basically getting like $5.2 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, out of that, what does the average athlete go and do?
Right.
Jewelry, $300,000 on jewelry, $400,000, that's probably a year on jewelry. Go and buy your Lambo, a Rolls Royce, and I know a bunch of them that do it. I'm not going to call them out on it. But go and buy Rolls Royces and Ferraris. Now, you just went ahead and you just cut your money down per year. You went from making $5.2 million a year to spend it. Oh, yeah, and mind you, you want the big house, too. So you just blew about $5 million to $6 million because you want to take care of family and everybody else.
Easy.
Quick. Now, mind you, you got 4 years to make that money stretch. Mm. 4 years. With your lifestyle, you can't keep up because you only have about what? Let's just say you got about what? $14 million left.
Right.
And that's got to stretch you up for 4 years. So out of that $14 million, you're talking about $3.4 million. You got like $3.4 million left.
Absolutely.
We just rounding out. You got like $3.4 million left. Now you accrue bills where you're spending $50,000-$60,000 a month.
Easy.
A month.
That's
easy.
Crazy. That's
now
it's scary.
That's part. $500,000 a year. Now every year, what the average athlete wants a new car, something like that. So so basically, by the time year two comes, the way you spend money. You realize you get that call from your financial guy like, hey, we're kind of cutting it close. And you're like, oh, no, we're going to sign another big contract. And a lot of guys, they really don't have that same hunger and that same focus once they get that big money.
You
see that a lot. They don't have that same hunger and that same focus. So now you just looked at that big deal you just signed, but when you're not living up to them expectations, that big deal is not waiting on you again. Now, year one of that contract is left.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You get that call like, hey, listen, you got about $1.1 million left, $1.1 million. You can't take any more trips.
Right.
You can't do anything. We got to make this money stretch. You got to figure out what we're going to do in this next contract.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you go ahead, your contract is up. You don't have any offers. You go ahead, you get picked up by a team. Now, you can probably get the league minimum for being a veteran. Say you get 1.2.
Right.
That lifestyle that you've gotten used to changes.
Yep.
It's over. You got $1.1 million left. By the end of that year, you probably got $200,000 left if you have that left.
Absolutely.
Now you're signing on for 1.2 for the next year, and now at this time you're not focused. You're not focused. You're not
hungry. Yeah, your mindset is all
messed up. You can't do anything. So guess what? Cut. Once you get cut, you're screwed. All that money you had is gone.
Yep.
Absolutely.
That was so real.
Yeah, they have a.
But don't they have like classes like NBA, NFL leagues have classes by people because you never think it's going to be you who it happens to.
They do, but the way our mindset is, the way a lot of young guys and the way a lot of young black athletes think, the majority of them, they could care less about those classes. What they care about is going to the club, going to pop bottles, going to go buy jewelry, going to go buy cars. I've been through it. Like they that's what they care about. You know what I mean? And you know your teammates, old teammates, that's what they live for. You know what I mean? And fighting is different. Like in boxing, like it takes a while to get to that stage where you're making that big money. Like you can come out to a six-figure contract if you're a real good amateur.
Mm-hmm.
And if you make the Olympics, you can come out to a seven-figure contract. But the amount of money you can make per year is unlimited based on the amount of times you fight, and you get sponsorship and endorsement deals out of the wazoo if you're marketable.
Let me ask you that. You know, you got a guy like Floyd Mayweather who has no endorsements. How do you feel that he's able to stay afloat, you know, considering his lifestyle is obviously flashy?
Floyd is a guy that, and I'm very outspoken with this, Floyd is a guy that I always emulated as an amateur. I remember watching Floyd come up being at the Nationals with him, me being from Cincinnati, him being from Grand Rapids. I would be like 11 years old. He was 14, 15
Mitten.
At the time.
Pardon me.
But he's about 15, 16, and I would watch him. And Floyd was a guy that, he's a guy that was so talented, that is so talented. Like, by far, Floyd is one of the most talented guys to ever lay on a pair of gloves. But he's one of the most ignorant guys I think I've ever seen in his position that he's in. Like, I look at a guy like Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali talked a lot of smack. He did a lot, but he did a lot for his people. And not only that, his whole reason for being what he was for something. He stood for something that he believed in.
Yeah.
Like, his whole movement was different. Floyd has
it
a
was
chance.
A different time.
Floyd has a chance, though, to have so many kids look up to him to follow him in the right path. And, I mean, everybody's his own man. Like, you know, it's kind of hard to say live your life like this. Like, he chooses to live his life the way he does. But Floyd could be, I mean, who am I to say he could be in a better position? Because, look, he's the highest paid athlete out here. But at the same time, Floyd could set unprecedented records. Like, If he was just, I'm not gonna say if he was a little more guided. I mean, he's already set those records. So, like I said, who am I to say? But I think Floyd could go so much further. Like, he could hit a whole other aspect of people that he's not hitting if he was a little smarter with the way that he was, you know. And my cousin is following in his footsteps, Adrian Broner. And
that's
right there. I remember Adrian coming up as a kid in the gym with us, and that's my family. And to see where he is. Like a guy like that in that position, they should be getting endorsement deals out of the wazoo. Look at LeBron. LeBron got like what, $100 million from Sprite?
Oh yeah. Right.
Why isn't Floyd getting that? Why is a guy like I want to see Adrian get those kind of deals, and I think eventually he will when he sees a certain thing. But Floyd should be getting that. Floyd should be making so much more than what he is because of who he is and his talent and his gifts. But I think the image that he portrays, I think it really hurts him a lot. And me seeing Floyd and knowing him all these years, Floyd didn't always portray that image. He's not a friend of mine. It's not like we're buddy-buddy where I know all about his life. But I know certain things about Floyd and seen certain ways about him over the years. And he hasn't always been the person that he portrays himself to be.
Right. We go touch back on that, man, because that's an interesting topic. I want to talk about that more. But after this commercial break, sports music with Mo Agar, Yannick, Trish, and the boy Rashad. Let's get it.
So we're back, Mo Agar Sports Music. So I got a question. So do you consider Floyd Mayweather, if not, what would you consider him as far as with boxers, like top five, top ten in your books? Like how would you consider Floyd? Because he's, to me.
You mean in history?
Yeah, to me, I think he's one of the smartest fighters of all time because he knows how to dish out the punches, roll away. He knows how to block him properly. You know what I'm saying? Where to the point where you just can't really hurt him. You know what I'm saying? So how would you rank him?
You know, Mayweather is one of the most gifted fighters to ever put on a pair of gloves. I mean, as far as me ranking fighters, talent wise, he have to be top two. Top two. I mean, I guess I look at it so different. Like,
because you're a boxer.
But I grew up in an era where I remember the fighters I fell in love with were guys like Sugar Ray Leonard, Tommy Hearns. Those guys had all the talent in the world. They had charisma. They had class. Like Sugar Ray Leonard, he was the epitome of what a fighter should be to me. He came from D.C. or Palmer Park. He came from nothing. Street kid. Came from nothing. He carried himself with class.
Still does. Look young.
Like looks young. Man, look. Good looking guy. Spoke well. Looked the part. Fought with tremendous heart and tremendous talent. Like, when he fought Tommy Hearns, I remember them saying, look, Ray, you need to go out there and get the knockout. He would put it all on the line. Like, he was the epitome of it. Now, Floyd is just so gifted. He makes everybody else look like they're nothing. Like, he's that gifted.
I want to ask you something about Floyd Mayweather. It's amazing that this man has made so much money. And him being from my hometown, I still, you know, I have a tremendous amount of respect for him for being undefeated. But one thing I've never noticed about him, I don't know, maybe he does things in the background. I never heard anyone say, well, kids, like, we want to be like Floyd Mayweather. We want to, I mean, which is, you know, I'm not knocking him, but I don't see him being a role model, such as, you know, some of these other guys that I feel like he could be a role model, you know, in his own way.
He's a role model. I mean, the sad part about it, like, I'm from Cincinnati, and my gym's, like, my city is real run down. Like, I come from a poverty-stricken city. Like, our boxing gyms are in the hearts of the hood, like, all of them. And when I come home, and I give gifts to the kids. I bring them all kind of stuff, whether it's equipment or whatever. And I see the kids run around the gym, and I hear them, I'm money this, money that, TMT. Like, and I see them throwing money and just stuff like that. Like, it's like, That's who Floyd is. So like I said, who am I to talk bad? I would never speak bad on the man. Like that's who he is as a person. That's how he chooses to be. But kids look at that, and the ones that I see looking up to him, all look up to the negative stuff he does versus the positive stuff he does.
What does he do positive? besides me winning
Floyd
the ring.
Floyd actually does a lot. You know what I mean? And I was kind of blind to it for a while. I mean, he has a Thanksgiving giveaway where he goes back to Grand Rapids in Detroit.
Yeah.
He gives away a lot of turkeys. Like, he does a lot for families, you know what I mean? Like, he does a lot for other fighters coming up, you know what I mean? He tries to help. He does help a lot of guys. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know if it's that's a whole other thing. But he does a lot. He does a lot for people. And he's good in that aspect, you know what I mean? He's very giving. He's very giving to certain people. And, I mean, honestly, like a guy in that position, you know, it's kudos to that. It's kudos to see him.